The Olympics return to the United States in 10 months, and organizers in Salt Lake City say they're ready, despite the distracting bribery scandal that tainted their bid to host the 2002 Winter Games. Olympic officials promise to avoid the transportation problems, tacky commercialism, and terrorist bombing that marked the last American Games in Atlanta. And they vow to show the world that Salt Lake City is cosmopolitan. NPR's Howard Berkus reports on their progress.
The final Olympic venue was completed last month, almost a year before the Games, despite a roof collapse and imperfect concrete. The roof was fixed and the concrete replaced in time for World Championships at Salt Lake City's new Olympic Speed Skating Oval. Two skaters sprint down the track, skates spitting ice, then evolving into graceful gliding. The ice is dust and wind-free, the air thin and dry. This is the highest covered speed skating oval in the world and possibly the fastest.
And the finishing time, just off world record pace, 37.43. That moves Catriona LeMaydon up into first place.
0.03 off the world record right there.
This first test for the new oval produced 5 world records, 57 national records, and 127 personal bests. Even the Zamboni seemed fast. This is what Olympic organizers want out of the Olympics: dramatic performances from athletes and some credit for making it happen as scandal fades away.
I think the world will be watching in the case of Salt Lake City in a way that would not have occurred had there not been the bid city scandal. People want to know if we can pull off the games, if we've overcome the past.
Mitt Romney is president of the Salt Lake Olympic Organizing Committee.
And I think ultimately when these games are over, that's what we'll be known for. Great athletes, great athletic experience, a wonderful community that got behind the games and did everything within their power to assure that we have games that are perceived in such a positive light that they overshadow the fact that there was a bid scandal associated with the games coming to Salt Lake City in the first place.
Achieving that is still a challenge, even though the ice rinks, ski jumps, sledding runs, and ski slopes are ready so early.
Racer!
A skier speeds down the final hill to the finish line on the Olympic downhill course. She skis at more than 60 miles an hour, a slow Olympic speed, but this is just a training run. It's a bright blue sky day at the Snow Basin Resort. But last year, before World Cup races, it snowed 7 feet here, forcing resort manager Gray Reynolds to cancel the skiing due to snow.
You develop your race course with your snowmaking, and you get it groomed and very hard. And then when you get loose snow, you have to take the loose snow off of it. And when you're getting the kind of snow we've got, you just could not move that much snow. We had 7 winch cats working at the same time. We were running 24-hour shifts up there, but we were not able to get it all off, and that's the reason we were not able to run.
Snow days are built into the Olympic schedule so events can be postponed without forcing cancellation. Too much snow is a problem they wish they had at the cross-country skiing and biathlon course.
This is also the highest elevation facility of its kind in the world. Conversely, though, we're the most southern latitude of this type of facility in the world. So that's why you see we have some issues with snow here.
Sean Tewitt explains why the only snow on the course last month was made by machines. But even the biggest cross-country snowmaking system in the world isn't enough when it's too warm to make snow, which it was last winter.
We're going to stockpile snow in remote locations on this facility using tracked vehicles to bring it in. Also, we're going to go up to about 8,000 feet, a reservoir, Strawberry Reservoir, and make snow there. We kind of have these hit-and-run operations where we go take snow from remote areas. And we've got the trucks and the diesel and the manpower to do it. And we shouldn't have any problems.
Journalists making too much of this should note that the shooting range for biathletes faces the media parking lot. Snow is also a concern at the bobsled and luge track, which gets more than 40 feet each winter. Screens cover portions of the track to keep snow out, but they don't keep out everything, notes track guide Steve Butler.
We have a family moose that lives here, hangs out all the time. There was a moose standing at the top of the track on that icy staging area. One of our track workers came up, startled him. He fell into the track. He made it all the way to the bottom, and he was missing little patches of fur, and he was kind of bloody. And he was mad. In fact, there was a little call around on the radio, said, you know, stay inside, there's a pissed off moose. And he was smashing and kicking everything that he possibly could get his feet on before he left the park. Yep.
Olympic officials are confident their elaborate mega million-dollar security effort will keep out intruders, including unaccredited moose. Off the ice and the slopes, back in Salt Lake City, the concern is image, says Jay Shellady, editor of the Salt Lake Tribune.
We are a bit insecure. We always have been a little insecure. We're always worried about what other people think. And now we've taken the risk of going out and telling the entire world, hey, look at us. Well, the world is going to look at us. And now we're a little bit worried about what they'll find.
The world will find polygamy, a remnant of Mormon pioneers, condemned later by Mormon leaders, but persistent still among splinter groups. The world will find confusing liquor laws, written by predominantly Mormon, non-drinking lawmakers. State and Olympic officials can't seem to figure out how to legally open a bar in the main media center, the workspace for thousands of visiting journalists. Booze and bigamy already appear in news stories, which label the games the Mormon Olympics. That frustrates Rocky Anderson, Salt Lake City's non-Mormon mayor.
Those are such small aspects of everything else that we're dealing with. And I just really think that it's too bad that people get fixated on these very narrow issues rather than all the great things that are going to be happening.
Anderson believes the stories will change when journalists experience a friendly, diverse, and thriving city, and if the games prove successful.
I think the long-range effects will be very positive. I think the economic effects will be good. I think the community-building effects, I think the economic development effects, just people having a different view of Salt Lake City in this area than they might otherwise have had, that all that will be very favorable.
There's already a taste of the Olympic spirit in the herds of Utah schoolchildren begging for autographs and snapshots from the Canadian junior women's curling team. The kids sought a connection to athletes competing on Olympic ice. The curlers complied with puzzled smiles. Howard Berkus, NPR News, Salt Lake City.